Blog Talk Radio.
There's the snap, hand to Riggins. Good hole. He's got the first down, the 40. He's done. The 35, the 30, the 20. He's done. He's done. Touchdown, Washington Redskins. Woo-hoo.
Kick up. Kick it on the way.
It's good. It's good. It's good. Out of Vinatieri. Boom to 40. 8-yard field goal. And the game is over. And the Patriots.
Gets the snap. He's back. He pumps. Scrambles around. Throws it back corner of the end zone. Santonio with a touchdown. Santonio holds. I don't know how he did it. Dominique Parker's Cromartie doesn't know how he did it. But they rule touchdown in the far right corner of the end zone.
In motion. Comes right. Back to throw Montana. Steps up. Throws. Touchdown.
Welcome into another Frat House Sports' Red Zone Blitz. Frat House Mike Cavadia here from the Frat House Sports Radio Studios. And at now just less than 48 hours away from what I refer to as NFL Thanksgiving. The rest of the country might just refer to it as Turkey Day or Thanksgiving. I refer to it as football Thanksgiving, NFL Thanksgiving. That's what it is. Because, look, let's get it straight. It's a football day with just a big turkey feast thrown in on top of it, right? That's what it is. At least that's the way I've come to know it. it is I love Thanksgiving for just exactly that. It's kind of, to me, it's kind of melancholy because, listen, by the time you get to Thanksgiving, you're now looking well into the back end of the season. You know, you're at that point, you're just 4 weeks away from Christmas time. And by the time you get to Christmas, you're, for all intent and purpose, you're basically wrapping up the season. So it does kind of signal the end of the season, but it actually really, to me, Thanksgiving kind of also kind of signals almost the beginning of the second season in the NFL, and that's the playoffs. And that's kind of where we're looking as we just kick week 11 and talk about an accelerated week here, you know, with three games that are scheduled now for Thursday night. We are certainly on an accelerated pace. We're coming to you here on a Tuesday night, as we always do. We just concluded week 11 last night, but look, as I just pointed out, in less than 48 hours, we turn around and we're going to be already really deeply into week 12. But week 11 certainly had its share of things that, some things were same as they ever were, and other things kind of came out of the blue. The Dallas Cowboys, same as it ever was. This team on a 9-game winning streak now. That alone, right there by itself, is certainly quite an amazing accomplishment, let alone the fact that they're doing it with a rookie quarterback and rookie running back. We've talked about the Dallas Cowboys team all season long, and in many respects, they certainly deserve to be talked about some more and will continue to be talked about, I'm sure, certainly so long as this sort of thing continues on. They took care of the Baltimore Ravens this past weekend. I was a little bit surprised. I kind of thought the Ravens would shining and that Dallas has to drop one of these days, don't they? Well, we're going to take a look at that game. We're going to take a look, actually, at a lot of the NFC East. Because, in my opinion, one of the most unassuming playoff teams, well, at least a team that's poised for the playoffs, that you have to talk about across anywhere across the NFL would have to be, at this point, the New York Giants. Yeah, has anybody noticed the New York Giants sit in second spot in the NFC East and are 7-3? They've done that kind of quietly when you think about it. That's a Giants team that a lot of people kind of thought, oh, yeah, they're just going to stumble. Come on, they're going to stumble. And there might be people that are thinking that yet. Hey, there's plenty of season left for the Giants to stumble. A couple of teams that have stumbled around, Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. They went at it against each other this past week. Did Minnesota turn things around with that win against the Cardinals? I don't know. We'll take a look at that game as well. It would certainly seem to me, though, Arizona didn't do any good for themselves, and there might be some guys on that team that are actually looking to start making dates for when they're going to be hitting the links. Washington Redskins and the Green Bay Packers. Well, I don't know what to say about this game except for the fact that, well, Washington just flat out put it to them. I mean, look, it's one thing when Green Bay gets beaten. Green Bay was embarrassed, in my opinion. At least they should have been. 42-24, they lost to the Washington Redskins. And there's that other team in the NFC East that we're going to be talking about. Three out of four of them are on our agenda for this evening. Three of them, right now, if the playoffs concluded, would be in the playoffs because both wildcard teams from the NFC would be awarded to the NFC East. Who'd have thunk it? The Oakland Raiders certainly made a case for being perhaps one of the best teams this season in the NFL last night as they took care of the Houston Texans down in Mexico City. Interesting game with a lot of kind of controversies all kind of surrounding it, not to mention laser pointers and, well, perhaps maybe even a little bad officiating that kind of benefited the Oakland Raiders along the way. Those are just a couple of things that are on our agenda for this evening, and certainly you can add to the agenda if you wish. All you have to do is just pick up the phone and give us a call, 347-826-9964. That's how you can get a hold of us here, 347-826-9964. We'd be certainly happy to talk about whatever game you'd like to discuss from this past weekend, or perhaps maybe one that's coming up in Week 12. Whatever might be on your mind, don't necessarily feel like you have to come on to talk about one of the games that we've got on the agenda. Anything in the NFL is fine. 347-826-9964. Otherwise, you can leave us a message in our Blog Talk Radio chat room, or you can hit me up on Twitter at Frat House Mike. That's how you can get me on Twitter, at Frat House Mike. I check my Twitter notifications constantly throughout the entire program. Let me get my co-host in here who joins me every Tuesday evening and breaking things down. I've got Brandon with me. Brandon, observation that I was reading today with regard to this coming Thursday's lineup of games for Turkey Day, for Thanksgiving, what I'm calling NFL Thanksgiving. We've got the Minnesota Vikings at the Detroit Lions. You've got the Washington Redskins at the Dallas Cowboys. And then in the evening, we've got the Pittsburgh Steelers at the Indianapolis Colts. Many analysts are saying that that's one of the best Turkey Day lineups perhaps maybe we've seen in a long, long time, just because of the way the circumstances have worked out this season with the standings, et cetera, that it might just be one of the best lineups of compelling games we've seen. I'd have to say I concur, perhaps maybe with the exception of that late game now with the news that perhaps maybe Andrew Luck will not be playing.
Yeah, I would agree. The chances of Luck playing are slim and none. They've already pretty much said that. You know, once you're in the concussion protocol, there's like three stages you have to pass, and I don't think you can pass them. There's a period of time between each, I believe, and I don't think it's even possible to get a concussion Sunday and play on Thursday. They're pretty much acknowledging that. You know, I don't think in today's NFL, the doctors or the team or anybody else is willing to take a shortcut, you know, on the protocol the way it, as it is. So I would think you're not going to see Luck play. But the other games, you're right. They're awesome. I mean, Detroit and Minnesota and Washington and Dallas, you know, both games are division games for, you know, teams at the top of the divisions. I mean, the Dallas-Washington game may not be for first place so much, you know, as it stands, but, you know, who knows, if Dallas would happen to hit a losing streak, then it would, you know, could become relevant road. But, you know, both games are going to be good. And Washington's certainly in play for a wild card. And that tie they have, believe it or not, if you look at some of the math, it could end up helping them. You know, it depends, you know, that's better than having a loss. And the loss depends how, you know, teams like the Giants finish, how teams, you know, like, you know, Detroit, Minnesota finish, you know, that kind of thing, as far as what kind of play they're going to be in for a wild card. As you pointed out, you may see two teams in the NFC East with a wild card berth.
If, in fact, the season were to end today, yeah, that's exactly how it would go. Dallas would
on the tie, because
exactly.
The Minnesota Vikings have four losses. They're 6-4, where the Redskins are 6-3-1.
Mm-hmm.
So that could end up being big for them as the season goes. We'll see. You know, interesting. I was listening, you know, I've kind of come to the opinion that the Monday Night Countdown show for the ESPN puts on for Monday Night Football seems to me to be the most informative, best pregame show out there right now. I don't know if it's because they have the benefit of telling you all the news that just happened the day before or what, but, you know, some of the on-air talent, too. I mean, they got Randy Moss on there, who's new, as well as Charles Woodson. Both very articulate and very good in the broadcasting. You know, they added Matt Hasselbeck this year, Dilfer and Steve Young, and, boy, you got this brain trust of quarterbacks, receivers, and defensive backs. And they put on a lot of information. And the only reason I'm, you know, talking about it is because they made a big point of how good this Washington team is. And, you know, how Kirk Cousins is, you know, playing on a franchise tag and going to be a free agent next year. And Dallas is going to – or Dallas. So Washington's going to have to pony up some dough, or he's, you know, going to hit the open market. So, you know, they're really, you know – and they were saying that – you know, he seems, as a lot of people look at him, as an average quarterback, but some of the plays he makes in the game are not average. So, I don't know. We'll see. It should be interesting. I'm going to pay a little closer attention to that Cowboy-Redskin game this week for sure.
Yeah, and I got to tell you, we're going to, you know, we've got the Washington-Green Bay game on our agenda here for this evening. I'm going to be honest with you, and, you know, rather obviously, because I'm an Eagles fan, I keep track of what the NFC East is. I watch probably more of the NFC East games than many of the other divisions. Because of that, I did not expect to see a Washington team that went out and completely manhandled Green Bay the way that they did. I mean, it was absolutely – I mean, truly, it was almost an embarrassment in some respects for the Green Bay Packers. And you know, what's interesting is when you take a look at the box score for that particular game, I don't think the box score does it justice. You almost had to have watched the game, because you could see that the defense was obviously keeping Green Bay off its rhythm, and yet it doesn't show up in the box score on things like quarterback hits or sacks or interceptions or things like that. It doesn't show up. But when you watched the game, it was apparent that Washington's defense came into that Green Bay game ready to put it to Green Bay. And boy, did they ever, in a big, big way. I mean, as I pointed out, 42-24, holy smokes. You know, one of the things you do know going in and playing Green Bay this year, you know that it's probably going to be one of the higher over-unders on the board for just about any game against Green Bay, because the Green Bay defense is not that great. But, I mean, what are we talking about here? 66 points? I didn't expect that from the Washington Redskins. I did not expect 42 points from the Washington Redskins in that game against Green Bay. I really didn't. And you start to get that kind of I got to be honest with you. I was going to say sickening feeling. That didn't sound right because I'm not a big Green Bay fan. But I'm going to be honest with you. I've gotten used to seeing Green Bay in the playoffs. And it's going to seem weird if Green Bay's not in the playoffs this year. I got to be honest with you. It's going to seem a little bit weird not to have the Green Bay Packers represented in the playoffs. I don't know. I mean, obviously we move with this from one year to the next and you accept whoever's going to be there. But I've gotten so used to seeing the green and the gold in there that it's going to be a little bit weird. I don't know how, you know, what you're thinking is on it, but we'll you know.
Here's the way I'm looking at it. You know, there's still, you know, 6 weeks of NFL to be played. The Packers, as they sit right now, they're two games out of it. They're 4-6. They can, you know, go on a little hot streak. I think the problem with Green Bay right now is, you know, they're too one-dimensional and everybody knows it. You know, they know they're not going to have a running game. You know, maybe, you know, another week, maybe James Starks becomes more effective, you know, coming back off injury. I don't know. I don't know what the answer is, but, you know, you and I were talking a little bit pre-show and, you know, something looks off with this team and it's just hard to exactly say what it is. You know, you got a great coach, you got a great quarterback, you know, they've worked well together for many, many, many years. There shouldn't be, you know, any kind of discord yet. Something's not right. And, you know, the only thing you look at injury wise that's killing them is the running back position. And, you know, Aaron Rodgers is throwing an awful lot. And that offensive line, I don't know how to say it any other way, just sucks. He's running for his life. He's getting hit a lot. You know, he's probably rushing throws, you know, which is probably making the passing game less effective. So maybe it's just a, you know, they don't have a solid running game to keep the defenders on their toes and keep them honest playing the run. They're just, you know, they're just pass rushing every down because they know the Packers are throwing every down for the most part. So, you know, I think until they can fix that, you know, and this team's not built for that kind of game with this offensive line. This offensive line is going to get Aaron Rodgers killed at the rate they're going.
Mm-hmm.
So, and I don't know. I don't know if there is an easy quote-unquote fix. You know, like I said, they got Starks back. Maybe that'll help. Maybe he'll get a little healthier as the season goes.
You know, I'm looking at this. You know, and I hear what you're saying. I mean, and I'm going to be honest with you. I hesitate to say at this point right now that anybody is out of it completely, perhaps maybe with the exception of, you know, the Cleveland Browns or, I don't know. Can we say the New York Jets are, you know, the Chicago Bears, San Francisco 49ers? You know, I hesitate to say that anybody's out of it. But when you look at the Green Bay Packers, they're a minus 29 in point differential. Yeah, they're 4-6. Yeah, they're in a division right now that's kind of in flux. That division's in flux. We're not quite sure what's going on there. Minnesota's been up and down in the past couple of weeks. This week they were up. Detroit seemingly has walked in and taken advantage of a vacuum, it seems to me. We're going to find out for sure on Thursday, you know, whether anybody's serious in that division, you know, when you get a Detroit and Minnesota playing up against each other. That game actually is going to be on our radar for tomorrow night. For our picks of the week, but it's tough to imagine that Green Bay is going to be able to turn it around and make the playoffs in the few weeks that's remaining. I'm going to be perfectly honest; it's going to be very difficult.
I would agree with you, not only because they have to fix it. There's too many other teams that are too far ahead of them that would have to have, you know, meltdowns or you know, start losing too quick. It's not like they could even control their own destiny. You know what I'm saying? In other words, they got, you know, I don't think they can affect the New York Giants, the Washington Redskins very much. I mean, even the Eagles in 5-5 in the East are ahead of them a game, you know, and that all plays out when you get into the playoffs. So, you know, I got to think that, you know, the hopes for the Packers are as if they can somehow manage to beat their own division and win it. And,
yep.
And that means they got to beat the Lions and Vikings because they do play each again, but then they have to keep winning and hope the Vikings and Lions each lose. Now, obviously one of them are losing on Thanksgiving Day because they're playing unless they end in a tie. But yeah, you know, odds are one of them's going to lose. So that could help, but Green Bay is still facing an uphill battle because they can't lose any more games. And they got to go to, you know, Philadelphia on Monday Night Football next week and play the Eagles, you know, who are, you know, if they have any hope of sneaking in the wild card, they can't afford to lose anymore either. Essentially, that's almost an elimination game for these two teams.
The Philadelphia Eagles, who, by the way, are a, believe it or not, a 4-point favorite against the Green Bay Packers. That's almost ridiculous, in my opinion. A 4-point favorite. On Monday night. So anyhow. All right. Well, I'll tell you what. Let's stick with the NFC East for a moment, and we'll take a look at our first game that we had on the agenda. And interestingly enough, I didn't actually plan it this way, but all four of the games that we had used as our picks of the week are on our list for this week. So all four of these games were games that we had talked about last Thursday night on our Frat House Sports Show. And that starting with the Dallas Cowboys and the Baltimore Ravens. And I kind of thought the Ravens would pull off a win here. And it was mostly because I kind of thought, well, Dallas has got to lose one here eventually. I mean, a 9-game, I was actually trying to, I suppose if I had thought of it earlier in the day, I would have had a little more time to try to research it. But a couple of minutes before the show started, I was trying to find out, Brandon, when the last time was we saw a team with a 9-game winning streak. That alone is actually quite remarkable. I mean, for any team to get into a groove of winning 9 games straight, and remembering that this team opened with a loss. So, you know, one loss in the first week, and then after that, they haven't lost a game since. I mean, that is absolutely incredible. Dak Prescott was 27 of 36 for 301 yards. Another 3 touchdowns, no interceptions. 127.2 quarterback rating. Ezekiel Elliott, another 100 yards combined between on the ground and in the air. Actually, he had no touchdowns this past week. 97 yards on the ground on 25 carries. And another 30 yards in the air on 4 receptions. The Dallas defense was superb. Amazingly, because this was a defense that we were told coming into the season, if there's an Achilles heel for the Dallas Cowboys, it's going to be their defense. And yet they have one of the lowest points against. They have, if not, is it the highest? It might be the highest differential at 98 points. Their point differential is 98, which is the highest in the entire NFL. I don't even know what to say anymore about the Dallas Cowboys. I just don't, because in so many respects, they have just completely undermined all of the preseason prognostications. Everything that everybody said about the Dallas Cowboys has turned out to be completely untrue. Of course, that's actually true across all the teams in the NFC East, but most particularly the Dallas Cowboys. Everybody thought this was going to be a team that would be rebuilding. They might end up third. They more likely would end up in the basement. Right now, they're leading the entire NFL. It's absolutely stupid. this team's got to lose yet before the season. Or am I just being, or am I just doing a little wishful thinking here, Brandon?
Can you tell me one game they played where you thought they were even close to losing? I mean, not only is Dallas winning these games, they're winning these games by 10 points like this week or more. Dallas is doing something that you just don't ever see from, you know, rookie quarterback and then throw in a rookie running back at the same damn time. I don't see how, I don't see any chinks in the armor. If anything,
They could have gotten beat by the Eagles. The Eagles had that game won.
Okay, I'm not going game by game. I'm just saying as a general rule, they're winning going away. You know what I mean? There's going to be a tight game here and there, especially in a division game. This game against Washington on Thursday could be another one like that. You know, you got two solid teams in a division matchup. But, you know, you brought up the defense, and we all thought it was going to be terrible at the beginning of the year. You know what's making this defense good? Look at the number of rushes they have this game. 30 attempts rushing the ball. You know, that's what makes your defense good, because the defense isn't on the field as much. You know, they're doing a nice ball control offense. You know, Prescott's not turning the ball over, you know, and they're handing the ball off 30 times. They're not stopping the clock. The clock keeps running. There's not a ton of incomplete passes to stop the clock. And, you know, the defense is spending more time on the sidelines, and that's why they're more effective. You know, it's – I don't know if it's acting as a masking agent or something, but, you know, this whole offense on the other side of the ball is what's making the whole team better. And I honestly don't see a team in the NFC, short of maybe the Seahawks, who are really coming on strong now, you know, who could hang with this team. I mean, I don't think any of the teams in the NFC North would give them much of a, you know, struggle in the playoffs. The East, you know, that's their own division. That's the strongest division in the conference in the NFC, and yet they're still 9-1. So, you know, I don't know. We'll have to see how this plays out. But, you know, right now you got to give them, you know, leader in the clubhouse, you know, for going to the Super Bowl.
Yeah,
you know, and Seattle's been spotty, but, you know, Russell Wilson's getting healthy. You know, and we're seeing massive improvements in their game. I mean, they're beating good teams now. You know, they beat the Patriots 2 weeks ago. They beat the Eagles, you know, this past week. And you know, whether the Eagles, you consider them to be a good team or not, they're still a 500 team, and they're playing, you know, some decent football. You know, so you can't take away the, you know, what Seattle's doing. And, you know, I don't know. It's going to be interesting in the NFC. And I'll be honest, the AFC is not much different. I mean, you know, really, and I'm not just saying this because I'm a Patriots fan, who's going to beat them in the AFC? I mean, really. I mean, Denver? Denver's fallen out of it. You know, Oakland, are they ready? That defense, I don't know about that defense, you know, going against the Patriots, and nobody from the North is going to be anything. You know, we could be seeing, a Patriots-Cowboys Super Bowl.
Yep. Yep.
Or a rematch of 2 years ago, the Patriots and Seahawks. I mean, I don't know. Maybe Oakland is ready. I don't know. I just think their defense, to me, has some holes in it. And, you know, they still allow too many points.
Yep.
But they still keep winning games. So it's,
but they're winning.
You know,
exactly
you can't
right.
discount
that's,
them.
That's
I'm
exactly
not going
right.
to discount them. You know, it's kind of like the NFC. You got, you know, the Cowboys and Seahawks that are kind of distancing themselves from everybody else. And you got the Raiders, even though the Raiders division is brutal. I mean, they got 2-7-3 teams right behind them, but the Raiders and Patriots are, you know, kind of setting themselves apart in the AFC.
Mm-hmm.
And then you're kind of just stuck with muck the rest of the way. I mean, I think the AFC West has some decent teams in the Chiefs and the Broncos. And I think the NFC East has decent teams with, you know, the Giants, Redskins, and you could even almost throw the Eagles in there at 5-5. I mean, they can't keep losing. They need to stop the bleeding, you know. But they're not out of it. I wouldn't call anybody in the East out of it.
Well, I just said, you know, is there, you know, the Cowboys have got to lose the game, right? Well, you know, the answer to that is no, they don't have to. Take a look at this schedule that the Cowboys have got coming up. I just mentioned that they're going to play the Redskins on Thanksgiving Day. All right, that's a really good barometer. That's a good matchup, but that's a home game for Dallas. We'll see how that goes. But following that, they've got the Vikings in Minnesota. They've got New York at the Giants. They host the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. They host the Detroit Lions. And their last game of the season, they will be on the road in Philadelphia to play the Eagles. It is conceivable, it is very conceivable, that the Dallas Cowboys could go 6-0 in the remainder of their games. It's very, very possible. The Vikings have been up and down, as we've talked about. The Vikings have been up and down. Look for Washington, the Giants to play them tough. The Buccaneers played a very tough game this past weekend, and they won. And then, of course, you've got the Lions in there. Potentially, if by the time they get to the Lions are still contending in the NFC North, yeah, you're going to find them. They're going to find themselves with a fight with the Lions. So it could go either way. I mean, a lot of these games, it could go in the against the Dallas Cowboys, or it could just as easily be a 6-0 whitewashing for the Dallas Cowboys. But
I don't think you're going to see a 6-0, and I'll tell you why. They got three division teams left. They got the Redskins this week. They got to go to New York, and they got to go to Philadelphia. You know, I just don't know that they're going to make a clean sweep of that, especially on the road. You know, there could be elements involved in the games in New York and Philadelphia later in the year. I just don't, you know, odds are you're not going to sweep your division. You know what I mean? Especially the second trip through. You know, I don't know. We'll have to see. I mean, it's going to be tough for them to go 6-0.
Well, if they did,
I don't think they're going to lose a lot of games. You know, the Giant game is interesting because the Giants is the one team they lost to at the end of the game. You know, in what was, you know, just total horrible play management, clock management at the end of the game. You know, that's the one team they did lose to. And mm-hmm. really, they had a chance at winning that game. So, you know, I got to think Dallas is going to look at that game and say, okay, we owe that team one. So, you know, maybe they do beat them. You know, they already beat the Eagles in Dallas. So maybe Eagles are circling that one on the calendar as revenge. You know, so we'll see. I mean, if I'm looking for a speed bump, it's going to be in one of those division games for Dallas.
Yeah, and by the time you get to the final game of the season, Brandon, which would be...
It may not matter, right?
Right. They may not even be playing all their starters. So they may, you know, the Eagles could end up winning that one almost by a default situation, simply because, you know, they'll be playing up against Dallas' second team. You know, so who knows what happens on that. The Dallas Cowboys, who'd have thunk it? I mean, it's a remarkable, remarkable story. It really is. Wow. And I mean, you know, one more time, you know, rookie of the year at MVP, you got two guys right there, who potentially could be certainly in the mix for conversation. That's for darn sure. Absolutely incredible. Now, let's stick with the NFC East for a moment. Because a team that we really haven't talked about too much, Brandon, kind of quietly all of a sudden snuck up on us here, have been the New York Giants, who last week, all right, they took care of the Chicago Bears 22-16. But in so doing, they advanced their record to 7-3, and that puts them in a solid second place for the NFC East. They're now, as you know, technically a half game in front of the Washington Redskins as a result of that tie for Washington. But the New York Giants, again, this is a team that one of the things I came away from somewhat surprising, you know, they've talked about their lack of a ground game. The offensively, this is a one-dimensional team, the Giants, because all season long, no ground game. They've had no ground game ready to go. Last week, they were able to put up some yards on the ground. 102 yards on 29 carries between Rashad Jennings. Most of it was Rashad Jennings, 21 carries, 85 yards and a touchdown. And then they're throwing in Paul Perkins every once in a while. McAdoo said that it was going to be really a split thing between Jennings and Perkins. I think he's just saying that. Jennings is their kind of a highlight guy. And of course, then you throw in, you throw in Beckham, you throw in their new guy, Sterling Shepard, who has really, he's looked terrific. But the defense on this team, again, has been something that a lot of people have said is somewhat suspect. And yet, surprisingly, this team sits at 7-3, and we've, you know, already talked about it. I mean, both those two teams, the Washington Redskins and New York Giants, right now poised to get the wild card teams. The Giants suddenly are surprising me. You know what's killing me is that I sit here, and as you well know, I sit and I listen to, I listen to sports talk radio here in the Philadelphia region. And, you know, well, the Philadelphia Eagles still have a chance at getting in the playoffs. And that's what the other two teams in their division are, well, they're just mediocre. Wait, how can you say that when the Giants are 7-3, two games better than you are, and the Washington Redskins are 6-3-1 in a game better than you are in the win column? It is so ridiculous. To me, the Philadelphia Eagles have the biggest hurdles they have to jump to get over all of these guys to get into the playoffs. Because right now, just on where we are on the schedule and looking at the records, these two teams certainly have it over the Philadelphia Eagles. And so while the Eagles are 5-5, and as you point out, okay, they're still playing, you know, fairly good football in comparison to many other teams in the NFC, you have to give the nod right now to the Giants or the Redskins. Certainly the Redskins, I would say.
And the Giants. I know you're right. You can't take it away from either one of them. I didn't like the Giants preseason. I'm still not super in love with their team, but they keep winning. You know, and unfortunately in the NFL, you can't deny, you know, when a team, you know, just keeps winning, and that's what you got going on right now with the New York Giants. So, you know, until they stop winning, you know, they're the number one team in a wild card spot right today as we speak. So, you know, trying to say the Eagles are a better team and the Giants suck, just from living in this area for a long time, we know what the Philadelphia talk radio market's like. I mean, people look through colored glasses all the time. And I've come to realize, I think a lot of the talk show hosts talk halfway out of their, you know what, their back end just to keep things relevant and, you know, get ratings. I honestly can't imagine they believe half the stuff that's, they, you know, comes out of their mouth sometimes.
Yeah.
So, you know, how much of it's true sports talk and how much of it's hype talk anymore? You know, yeah. I don't listen to it near as much as I used to. Obviously I hear, you know, a bit when you're, you know, listening to it, and, you know, I got to say, it isn't what it used to be, you know, back when sports radio first kind of took off. I mean, I think, you know, when before, you know, I honestly believe the birth of having competition and having two different radio stations in this market's kind of killed sports talk to a degree, as far as true sports talk, not, you know what I mean, sports talk, you know, hyped up type talk, you know what I mean?
Yep. You're breaking up there a little bit. So,
I'm sorry.
Yeah. I was only able to pick up a little bit there. Well, I concur. Yeah. I mean, you know, particularly this week when I'm hearing, you know, this kind of flamboyant talk about, well, you know, the Eagles can certainly get into the playoffs, and all they need is a 10-6 record. That's all they need is a 10-6 record. Well, they're 5-5. Okay. So
yeah, they got to go 5-1 to get that.
Exactly. I mean, come on, cut me a break. That's number one. And number two, you got two teams that are ahead of you in the standings. And then, yeah, if you bring that up, suddenly you're, you know, the argument being made is, well, they're not that good. Well, wait, how can you say they're not that good if the New York Giants are 7-3 in the NFC East, for God's sake, which is one of the better, as we pointed out, one of the better divisions in the NFC so far. You can't turn and say that. That's ridiculous. You know, and so I concur with you that I frankly get the impression that what you're hearing right now is just, hey, we got to keep the flame alive. Just keep the flame alive. Fan the flame a lot, and we'll keep our ratings up. I mean, that's what it's all about.
Unfortunately, I think that's kind of what the, you know, sports talk market has become. Yeah. And you know, I don't know. I don't know if there's a way to fix it at this point.
No, well, probably not, because it's all driven, you know, it's all driven by advertising dollars, but no advertising dollars here, so we bring it to you straight.
Okay.
Go ahead.
I don't know if it's just advertising dollars, though. I kind of think it's devolved because of having two stations as opposed to one. I think when it was one sports talk station, and I'm not saying, you know, it's specifically the newer one is the problem. I think the competition for ratings has changed what they have to bring to get the rating. And they've kind of moved away from, you know, genuine sports conversation like it more used to be. You know what I'm saying? In other words,
yeah. So it's diluted it. It's diluted the content.
20 years ago, you had Glenn Macnow and Jody McDonald on 610 WIP talking baseball, hockey, you know, real sports talk. And you don't get that anymore. You don't get half of what you used to get anymore. So, you know, I don't know. I don't know if there is a way to fix it.
The content has been diluted is what's happened. That's what's been diluted is the content. So,
yeah.
All because of the fact that we're trying to – everybody's – you know, you're probably right. The market probably hasn't changed. In other words, all it's done is it's just taken the market and cut it in half. So now you got two stations that are fighting for the same market that always existed.
Yes.
Which is going to
cause the content to change
exactly.
To try to, you know, get people from one side. You know, half the staff that's on the newer one used to be on the old one now. You know, so what does that tell you? You know, I don't know. I don't know what the quote-unquote answer is. I think the pendulum swung in the favor of the new one solely because they were on FM first. And I think that's going to be the deciding factor of the two Philadelphia sports radio franchises.
What does it tell me? It tells me that we got to keep retreading the old talent, thinking that the retreaded old talent is suddenly going to capture lightning in a bottle again. That's what they keep telling me. Why would you keep going to the same people that didn't work at a different station and just put them on yours? If they didn't work at the other station, why would they work at yours? Why wouldn't you go find new talent? That's always been my argument.
Part of the issue is the old talent worked well in certain combinations. They go mess with the combinations, and you don't get the same chemistry.
Dynamic.
You don't get the same dynamic, exactly. So, you know, I think some of the program directors are to blame as well.
Mm-hmm.
So, but anyway, let's not talk about that. Let's talk about we devolved the conversation away from the Eagles.
Well, like I said,
and the rest of the NFC East because
no diluted content here. We don't, you know, you can count on getting honest sports talk here.
We're not going to play any games with lists and brackets and
Mount Rushmores.
Those two. My life is not complete without Mount Rushmores.
You got to love the Mount Rushmores. Quick question for you, because the word came down apparently that And the only reason I think of it is because I'm looking at this game. I've got the box score up for, excuse me, this game here between the New York Giants and the Chicago Bears. Whereas I pointed out, the Giants, you know, took care of the Bears with little difficulty, 22-16. But word came down, and do I have it here? Yes, I do. Word came down that Jay Cutler, believed to have suffered a torn labrum, expected to miss the remainder of the season.
Wow.
Have we seen Jay Cutler put on a Chicago Bears uniform for the last time?
Yes. I have no doubt about it at his number next year. And it's, and if even though he did kind of give the team a burst when he came back this year, he's just not the guy. I think John Fox quit if the team made him keep him, to be honest. I think John Fox is ready to move on and, you know, rebuild the Bears. The Bears are clearly a team in rebuild mode with all the, you know, departures they've had the last couple of years and this year probably. You know, you see Jeffrey go. You know, I just scare Tony in rebuild mode. It just doesn't make any sense. You know what I mean? He's going to go on and, you know, at least record is money. He can't see your pocket anymore. You know, he is a free money this one. So I would expect you'll see him move as well as, you know, Cutler. That'll free even more dollars. The Bears are probably going to be drafting, hoping they get some another year or two. Then they'll make a splash in the free market trying to make a way to move. But I don't think they're going to do much, you know, right away. I think they're going to keep going in the salary mode and let's get some young players in here. And that makes sense. You know, mm-hmm. We've seen other teams do it and get good. I mean, Tennessee's in the middle of that right now. They don't spend a lot on anything, and they're kind of coming up. They got a quarterback, and they're building around the quarterback. I mean, yeah, they got DeMarco Murray in a trade with the Eagles, but they got, you know, the better half of that contract because that's the second part of the contract. The Eagles paid all the signing bonus and stuff, so Tennessee's not paying that. So that was a cheap, you know, move for them. It actually turned out quite well. Mark Murray's given them a lot more than they ever hoped for, I think. That's kind of the mode the Bears have to move, have to follow. And the Giants have a couple years in the mode. They have had the need to address them with some players. And, you know, I mean, it's going to get there a couple more years and they'll start being asked questions, you know, where are we here kind of thing.
Check your jack connection there because it's cutting in and out really, really badly. Yep. Really badly.
It's showing they have great signal. I don't understand.
Well, it might just be just kind of move your jack air in around the seating. Sometimes it comes a little loose or something. That's what it sounds like. It sounds like that comes loose or something. And it's constantly cutting. Yeah, you know, it makes me wonder when you're talking about the Bears, though, for a moment and looking at the situation. You know, John Fox came over there last year, and whether this has always been a situation where John Fox has John Fox been kind of sitting around just waiting, you think, just waiting for this day, you know, for 2 years now? In other words, all right, I'm going to go over to the Bears, but, you know, I'll be there with 2 years with Cutler, but then, you know, after that, we're going to start to rebuild this team. Because, you know, at the end of last season, you actually started to see them start to kind of break the team down. You know, you saw the movement of Forte away. And who am I thinking of who went over to, you know, they lost their receiver.
Brandon Marshall.
And, you know, you started to see the team start to break down a little bit there. And, you know, I kind of wonder whether he's just kind of been this sort of caretaker, sort of kind of in this caretaker role for the 2 years that he's been there, saying, okay, 2017 is going to be the year that we really start to rebuild. That's number one. Number two, I guess at this point, Brandon, they're going to be looking. They're going to be in the. They're going to be in the draft market for a quarterback, right?
Yeah, I would think so. They don't have anything on the roster that I would consider, you know, the next quarterback. So yeah, I would think they got to be, you know, checking out the draft class this year. You know, the sooner they draft a quarterback and get him, the sooner the team will on the upswing. So, you know, this year has turned out to be kind of a juggernaut, I think, for young quarterbacks. I mean, you know, Dak Prescott, Carson Wentz has looked very good as a rookie. You know, Goff's only got it his first game in, so, you know, we'll see how that goes. But so far, you know, this is the year of the young quarterback. I mean, Trevor Siemian out in Denver's only in his second year. We've seen the other draft play game too, so
yep.
You know, this you know, looked like a solid year for quarterbacks, and maybe, you know, I don't know. I hope everybody was saying pre-draft last year, oh, this is a horrible year to draft a quarterback. No quarterbacks out there. There's none of this, none of that. Well, that certainly turns out to show you what everybody on TV knows. I mean, because Dak Prescott's, you know, in the talk for MVP. Carson Wentz is 5-5 as a rookie starter, which is, you know, that's impressive all on its own. I mean, we've seen Hall of Fame quarterbacks, you know, start off 1-15, and not just one. I mean, we've seen, you know, Peyton Manning, Troy Aikman, Steve Young. It goes on and on of quarterbacks who, you know, could barely win a game that are Hall of Fame quarterbacks in their first season. So, now obviously a lot of that has to do with the team around them, but, you know, still they're showing poise and making good plays, and I don't see any of them making really bad decisions with the football. So, you know, I think this is going to turn out to be a stellar year for quarterbacks in this year's draft.
And what are they saying about the upcoming draft? Is that, hey, this is not going to be a great class for quarterbacks. Yeah, that's what the word is. There are really only a handful that do come that kind of rise to the top. But let's remember something. As you well point out, Carson Wentz was a name that came up again, like so many times we've seen before. That's a name that comes up late in the draft season. That was not a name going into the season, going into last season. I guess, what are we talking? That would have been 2015, going into the 2015 season. That, Carson Wentz's name was not a name that was being thrown around. His name came up in around like March. And one of the reasons his name came up as late as it did, of course, was the fact he was a double A, not Division I A. So, you know, that was a late name. Dak Prescott, who is just wowing everybody. I was the only one. I'm going to tell you right now, I think I was the only one of anybody that I heard that was analyzing quarterbacks that said, that kid is going to be special. I didn't hear any talking head say Dak Prescott. I was talking Dak Prescott. But the names that you hear coming up right now for next year, Deshaun Watson from Clemson, Josh Rosen from UCLA, Luke Falk from Washington State, Baker Mayfield from Oklahoma. Those are the names that you're hearing that are being knocked around. Now, you wait and see. By March, there might only be one of those names that are left. That's what will happen.
Or there'll be new ones.
Yeah, exactly, because, see, I'm trying to think. When does the exactly, because by March let's see, when do the combines come up? The combines come up, I guess, mid-March, don't they? I think the combines are like mid-March. So, you know, that's when you'll get the shakedown happening. But those are the names that you're hearing right now. Interestingly, I'm going to be honest with you. I haven't even heard much talk so far this season with regard to Heisman Trophy. I haven't heard many candidates' names being thrown around for that, and yet we got to be coming up. We've got to be only about 3 weeks away from Heisman Trophy at this point. So
I don't know. Is it just me, or does the importance of that award seemingly
Diminishing, yeah. It does seem to be a bit. Probably because it seems that, you know, when you take a look at a lot of the recent recipients, they've not gone on to be anything.
Well, you know, in true spirit of the word, it's supposed to be the best college football player. Whether or not they're a good pro prospect or not shouldn't be part of the conversation. But I think people look at it. I mean, you look at a Tim Tebow who, you know, struggled at best in the NFL, you know, but he was a Heisman Trophy winner and he was, you know, deemed the best college football player in that year. You know, I think that's the kind of thing that people might have lost focus on, what this award was all about to begin with, maybe. I don't know. But or you know, as you know, it's evolved, you know, maybe people are saying, well, you know, all these Heisman Trophy candidates don't do anything in the NFL, so I don't care anymore. You know what I mean? I mean, back in the day, I mean, you had guys like O.J. Simpson go on to win the Heisman, go to the NFL and set all kind of records.
Oh, God. There have been a lot of guys that
Dickerson,
have done it.
Eric Dickerson, I believe, was a Heisman Trophy, you know, who set all kind of records. You know, it's just the list goes on and on, and we just haven't seen that recently. You don't see, you know.
I couldn't even
tell you who was the Heisman Trophy winner last year because he ain't the NFL. If he is, he's not doing much.
I think part of the problem has been, and I have talked about this before on these very airwaves, and I am I'm a firm believer in this. I think when they dropped down the eligibility to freshmen and sophomores, I think that's really when, you know, you want to talk about things getting diluted, right there. It started getting diluted. This award should be reserved, in my opinion, for juniors and seniors only. And that's it. And if you are not, you know, if you decide to leave school and go and you can get into the NFL and you have to give up your potential senior year of Heisman Trophy eligibility, well, so be it. Then you don't get it. That's the way it goes. Because now you've decided to go on to the NFL. But I think it should be reserved for juniors and seniors. They decided to drop it back because you had guys leaving college early for the NFL. Well, hey, my attitude, too bad. Too bad. That's the way it goes. It should be juniors and seniors only. That's just my personal opinion. Look, we know Johnny Manziel got it in his freshman year.
Yeah, how'd that turn out?
You know, right, exactly. See, that's all you need. That's all you need. There's a perfect example of how we're going to take a prestigious award and we're going to diminish its value. Give it to Johnny Manziel as a freshman and see what that does to your award. Right there. There it goes. There's your evidence. I need say nothing more. All right, let's take a look at the – because I'm looking at, honest to God, I can't believe it. 30 minutes remaining, that's it? We've already been at this an hour. I can't believe it. Minnesota Vikings and the Arizona Cardinals. Minnesota comes up with a win here, 30-24. Arizona comes up with a loss here. Any surprise there? I don't know. Come on, seriously? Sam Bradford was 20 of 28, 169, one touchdown, 98.7 QBR. Carson Palmer, 20 of 38, 198, two touchdowns, two interceptions, 63.3. Brandon, I saw both interceptions. I think we actually did see quite a bit of this game.
Yeah.
The interceptions that he threw in this game, they looked bad. I mean, really bad. He, you know, there's been a lot of talk about Carson Palmer this year and that he may be a major component, a major ingredient to why the Arizona Cardinals are not having quite the season everybody thought. And I've kind of discounted it and said, come on, you know, this is football we're talking about. You can't be that bad. You can't go from being, you know, a playoff contending team to being, you know, I mean, they're not, I guess, they're not in the basement. Are they in the basement in that division?
No.
You can say, Right. No, it's actually San Fran. So, you know, yeah, but that's okay. You're allowed to forget about San Fran. but, I mean, they've gone from being, you know, that's what I'm saying. I mean, you talk about a team like the Carolina, three teams that come to my mind, Carolina, San Fran, and the Green Bay Packers, all three of them. These are all three teams that everybody would have thought opening up the season, they're going to be there at the end contending for the playoffs. None of them are at this point right now.
Yeah. You know, with Carson
Palmer,
with...
maybe, you know, I've discounted it that he would be the main reason. From what I saw against, and the scoreboard, of course, makes it, you know, gives us the impression it was a close game. And for a good portion of it, it was. But Carson Palmer, when he was bad, he looked horrid.
Yeah, Carson Palmer to me looks like a quarterback who got old all of a sudden. In other words, he's already in his mid to upper 30s, and he's had some pretty bad injuries the last couple years. And I wonder if it's just kind of all catching up at once. You know what I mean? That's kind of the impression I get when you know, at face value on this situation right now. It just doesn't look like Carson Palmer. He just may be a little off, and maybe, you know, maybe the wear and tear on his body's catching up, and maybe his mind's working faster than his body is, and he's making bad throws because he's not making the same kind of throws he was making just a year ago.
Right.
You know what I mean? And I wonder if it's just, I don't know. I can't put my finger on it. They got David Johnson, who's probably one of the best running backs in football. At least started the year off. He was, you know, a beast and unstoppable. You know, you got Larry Fitzgerald. You got, you know, John Brown, who's just been invisible. Michael Floyd has been not only invisible, he's been bad when he's been in. You know, you were talking about those interceptions. The one interception he threw that was really bad wasn't his fault. Michael Floyd flat out quit on the play. And you could see, you know, he stopped running and the defender kept going and made the interception. That one I can't put on Carson Palmer. I put that clearly on the shoulders of Michael Floyd. He was looking back, and I don't think he could find the ball, and he just stopped. And all of a sudden the defender, you know, gapped him by, a yard and a half almost instantly because of that. And, mm-hmm. you know, that one I take off of Carson Palmer's shoulders because I think Michael Floyd's been a problem. He's been a problem all year. He's been invisible in the offense, dropping balls. And what's the funny part is preseason, everybody was saying, oh, he's going to have a great year. He's in a contract year. He's playing for his NFL, you know, next NFL payday. Well, clearly that's not very important to him because he hasn't been very good. And, you know, I don't know where the other receivers have been either. I mean, I know the other Brown, Jerron Brown, got hurt and is out for the year. But, you know, John Brown's been playing. I know he's had some injuries throughout the year, but he's kind of not there. And Larry Fitzgerald, you know, is having another Larry Fitzgerald year, you know, but he can't do it alone.
Right.
And I think that's part of the problem. I don't know if, you know, it's just a combination of things. And, you know, Carson Palmer isn't quite what he was, and other parts of the team are kind of breaking down here and there. I don't know, but I was with you. I thought the Cardinals were ready to, you know, they were in the NFC conference game last year, one game away from the Super Bowl. I thought they were ready to, you know, have a solid year this year. And it doesn't look like that's coming at all. Or, you know, doesn't look like they're even going to make the playoffs at this point.
You know, you're absolutely right. Larry Fitzgerald is having another Larry Fitzgerald type of year, but kind of quietly, Brandon, because we're not seeing the touchdown numbers is what you're not seeing.
Right.
He's getting the yardage. Holy smokes, is he getting the yardage.
And the catches.
He's got 750 yards on the season, but only five touchdowns. And see, that goes right back to what we're talking about coming into this and talking about the Arizona Cardinals. That goes right back to Carson Palmer. Carson Palmer not seemingly getting the ball to the people that he needs to be getting it to.
I'm not going to, you know what, five touchdowns, you know, through 10 games. That's one every other game. It's not horrible. I mean, you're not talking.
Off, That's off a pace that was a little more familiar. I can tell you, having Larry Fitzgerald on my roster last year in fantasy football, that guy was almost an automatic touchdown a game.
Yeah.
Honestly.
Yeah. So, there's not many receivers in the NFL who are, though. I mean, you know what I mean? I think there's quite a few that if you say right now you're going to be sitting at 750 yards and five touchdowns, most, you know, there's a lot of NFL receivers who would be quite happy with that. And a lot of teams would be quite happy with that at this point. You know, I don't know. I ain't taking anything away from Fitzgerald. He doesn't look any different than he has, you know, the last several years. Maybe you're right. Maybe it is a little bit the guy throwing the football to him. But, you know, he certainly looks like he can still play. I don't think he's ever, you know, I don't think they're talking about retiring. He's talking about retiring anytime soon either. So.
Well, I would. Yeah, I certainly not. I would certainly not imminently. Let's put it that way.
Right.
On the other side of the ball, the Minnesota Vikings, a team that, you know, we talked about it a lot, started out, what was it, 3-0, 4-0, something like that, and then dropped 4 in a row. And then now, of course, they've come back. They've won a game here. They're 6-4 at this point. Did you get the impression here that now they've kind of, hey, all right, they've settled down. They've solved, you know, we've talked a lot about this team and kind of the transition they've gone through offensively. North Turner up and walking away from the team. Mike Zimmer making the statement, I guess it was maybe about 10 days ago, 2 weeks ago. Okay, I'm now finally going to put my stamp on this team. I'm going to go back and I'm going to make this, I forget exactly the phraseology he used, but it was something to that effect. Did you get the impression from this game right now that, okay, this was the game that has turned it around for Minnesota and that they're now poised to take control of this NFC North division? Or are we still going to be looking at a Minnesota team that kind of, well, they could drop one this week. They could win one this week. We just don't know.
I don't think this game was a statement game of any kind. I think it was just a simple, they outlasted a pretty bad Arizona team right now. I don't think this game has anything to come. And I don't know if it's on the agenda for tomorrow's show yet, but you know, I can tell you right now, I think Detroit's going to hand it to them on Thanksgiving Day. Detroit always gets up for the Thanksgiving Day games. That team has been a team on the upswing. You know, the Vikings are a team on the downswing. You know, it's in Detroit. It's a, you know, traditional game. Detroit always seems to, you know, whether even if it's a season where Detroit's horrible, they always seem to play good on Thanksgiving Day. You know, so I have a feeling you're going to see, you know, Detroit pretty much hand it to the Vikings on Thanksgiving. That's just my opinion.
And that game will be on our list for.
Oh, maybe I gave away one of my picks. Oh, well.
Tomorrow evening. Yes, it will be. That one will be. The Redskins and Cowboys will be. Chiefs and Broncos will be. Chargers
Ooh,
and
that's
Texans.
A tough division game.
Chargers and Texans will be on the list as well. That's a Sunday afternoon game.
That's a tough game,
so
too.
We've got two Thursday games. We actually have two Turkey Day games that will be on our list for tomorrow night. We have a 1 o'clock game on Sunday, Chargers at Texans, and then we have the 8:30 game. That was originally a 4:30 game that they flexed into the 8:30 spot, Kansas City Chiefs at Denver Broncos. So that'll be the Sunday.
You know what? That's a better game than what was originally scheduled because the originally scheduled game was the Patriots at the Jets. And as bad as the Jets are, I just don't see that being a good game for primetime. Mm-hmm. You got a 7-3 team and a 7-3 team, you know, who are, you know, both fighting in, you know, for, you can almost just say playoff positioning at this point. You know, that's going to be a heck of a game on Sunday night.
We talked a little bit about it earlier, Brandon, talking about the Green Bay Packers, but real quick, let's just touch again real quick here on the 42-24 whitewashing that the Washington Redskins did to the Green Bay Packers. Aaron Rodgers was 26 of 41 for 351 yards, three touchdowns, no interceptions, 115.0 passer rating. You know, you mentioned it, no clear ground game per se. They did manage to get 84 yards on the ground combined amongst Starks and Montgomery and, well, I guess Rodgers himself getting 33 yards. And Washington just, I mean, how many total yards? Let me just check this real quick. I just want to see what their total. Washington had 515 offensive yards against Green Bay. I mean, you know, we've talked about how bad their defense is, but man alive, 515 yards. Washington just absolutely astounded me in how badly they beat this Green Bay team. I don't know if there's anything further you want to touch on with it. We kind of touched on it a little bit before. I'm going to be honest with you. I think at this point you just got to think that Green Bay is not going to find a way back from this situation. I don't know what's wrong with them, but there still continues to be a lot of talk that, you know, look for a change at the top with the head coach. I think that would be a mistake, but
that
that's
ain't
just my personal
that
opinion.
Team doesn't change that very often. I got to think, you know, he's earned the right, you know, to have two, maybe three bad seasons before you start doing that. He was in the playoffs last year, you know, and they were playing without Jordy Nelson all last year, you know, but they did make the playoffs. So, you know, I think that talk's ridiculous. I think they need – they have two areas they need to address in the offseason. They need to improve the defensive side of the ball.
Ground game.
I think they're fine with the ground game. They need to fix the offensive line. They need to make the offensive line better, which would make the running game better, but it would also, you know, help Aaron Rodgers. He's not getting the time he needs. And, you know, without a running game at all, you know, it's just a free-for-all. Eddie Lacy, I'll tell you what, he came in this year and was a beast this third year. You know, he came in trimmed down. He came in ready to play. And, yeah, he got hurt. He had ankle surgery. He's done for the year. James Starks has always been a quality, you know, second, number two running back. I don't know that he's the premier guy. I think if they get Lacy back, you know, maybe they do draft a guy. I mean, they picked up Michael from, you know, Seattle on waivers. Maybe he'll end up being a piece that helps them, you know, moving forward. He'd be the third down back, you know, in lieu of Starks being able to do that, you know, because Starks is playing the, you know, premier guy role. I don't know, but, you know, we'll see. Maybe it'll help them down the stretch, but I think it's too late. Too little, too late. I think they're done. This game showed you two teams going opposite directions. The Packers are on the way down for this year, but the Redskins are just starting to pick up momentum. I mean, put 42 points up. Now, granted, the Packers defense, we already, you know, kind of covered. It isn't the greatest, but you score 42 points in the NFL, you're doing something. You know what I mean? And I think the Redskins are just starting to hit their groove. So, you know, that game on Thanksgiving Day with the Redskins and Cowboys, that's tougher to pick than you think, you know?
I know. And let me just check, because I have – has the line at all changed? No, the line has not changed. Dallas, Brandon, is a 7-point favorite in that game, which I think is way too high. That's just my personal opinion. Which is
they
why
are a
I
home
added
team though. They are home
I
team.
Added, I added it. I put the game on our list for that reason. I personally don't like the line. I think it's too high. But
it may be a little high, but you know. Dallas is always gonna be in that area because, you know, people are jumping back on the star, you know. The way it's always been with that team. They're good, look out. And everybody's going to ride the star. That's the way it is.
Yeah, but I'm going to tell you something. Like I said, I was, you know, I guess I wasn't necessarily surprised that Washington beat the Green Bay Packers, but I was a little bit surprised at how badly they beat them. And that's what I came away from with that game with Green Bay with was, holy smokes, this Redskins team just really, really clobbered them. That's what shocked me. That's why I like yourself, would not necessarily, in a game against the Cowboys, don't take Washington for granted at all.
Nope.
That's why I think that 7-point line is a little bit high.
I think I'll be honest with you. I think the first two games, we're in for some good ones on Thursday. That last game kind of lost a lot of luster to me. But
unfortunately,
and not
yeah.
that it had much even with Andrew Luck. I'll be honest, the Colts to me is just not. They've been a bit of a disappointment. It's a game for me, in my opinion, the last game's a game for Pittsburgh to start fixing themselves and getting themselves, you know, on an upswing and get some momentum moving if they're going to, you know, make anything, get back to where they were in the beginning of the year.
Mm-hmm.
They need to start that or they're going to be in sad shape come, you know, they may still make the playoffs, but, you know, doesn't look like there's a wild card team coming out of the North. So whoever wins, I still think Pittsburgh, looking at the cast of, you know, the Bengals are just done. I don't know why. I mean, and then they lost AJ Green and Giovanni Bernard. So if they weren't done before, they're done now.
Yep.
And Baltimore to me just doesn't, you know, I just don't see it. They're not ready yet.
They don't pass
the
eye test.
They're getting better. They're getting better. They're a team that's improving, but they're a team that's a year or two away. You know, a good draft next year and a key, maybe a key free agent signing. Maybe they are ready. I don't know. But they're not ready right now. And you know they're going to probably lose Steve Smith Sr. And he's their only receiver who's worth anything. And he's, what, 37? Should have he was planning on retiring last year. Had it not been, he got injured and didn't want to go out that way. So, yeah.
Exactly right. I brought that up all season long. That their leading receiver
is a guy.
Yeah,
but you can't take away what he's doing. He's putting up really good numbers.
Their leading receiver is a guy that should be right now on the green.
Yep.
I mean, think, you know, Baltimore needs to sit back and give that one some thought for a moment. What's wrong with this picture? Let's take a look at last night's game. Some people come away from that one saying there was a lot wrong with that picture. There are a lot of people that are saying Houston got screwed out of a win. Not once, not twice, but maybe three times. Maybe four times if you throw in the lasers. Oakland, the Raiders won this game down in Mexico City, 27-20. Derek Carr was 21 of 31 for 295. Three touchdowns, an interception. Meanwhile, Brock Osweiler, 26 of 39, 243, a touchdown, and one INT. You know, Lamar Miller was incredible for Houston. He racked up 104 yards and a touchdown. So they had the ground game going. I was actually impressed with Brock Osweiler in this one. I thought he looked very, very good. I've been impressed with Oakland all season long. There were a series of, I guess some would say, just bad calls. Bad, bad calls. We had the DeAndre Hopkins alleged touchdown that was called back because the referees called the ball dead because it appeared Hopkins had stepped out of bounds. On replay, it didn't look that he did. But nothing they could do once they had blown the whistle dead. That was the first one. Then you had a series of down calls where they spotted the ball badly, not in favor of Houston, which it certainly did appear twice that they had themselves a first down, and the ref and the field judge put the ball behind the line. And that screwed them from getting a first down, a really integral first down that they really needed. And then, of course, we had the incidents with a fan or fans using green laser pointers against the Houston Texans. And it was obvious that they were targeting the Texans with the lasers because you didn't see them when Oakland was on the field. It was only when Brock Osweiler was out there.
Well, if you notice that they had, you know, Raiders logos everywhere, it was essentially a Raiders home game, and, you know, a lot of the crowd was dressed in Raiders uniform. I take that one as a security issue. I mean, security, if that would happen in an NFL game, you know, here in the United States, that person would be gone, you know, with the green lasers, and that's just not called for. That's not safe. You know, that can do permanent damage to people's eyes. You know, that's horrible. I saw the DeAndre Hopkins play you were talking about, and I agree, that was a ridiculous call. I saw some of the spots that were horrible. I didn't see some of the calls towards the end of the game. Honestly, I didn't make it to the end. You know, it just, you know, I couldn't keep up for the whole game. So, you know, I didn't really see the controversial calls at the end, but it was not a very well called game. That referee crew was, you know, they looked kind of lost sometimes. You know, one looking at another, and they're making wrong calls all over the place. So,
yeah,
you know,
yeah,
I just, you know, that DeAndre Hopkins thing was absolutely ludicrous. That guy, yes, it was close. They should have, what they should do instead of blowing the whistle is let the play go and then look at it in, in review. You can't make a definitive call like that. You know, that's so obviously, you know, not right on replay. That's just not fair. You know what I mean? That's robbing the team of an opportunity. So, yeah, I don't know. They got to fix that. I get it. You know, once they blow the whistle, the play's dead. The other team stops playing. They can't, you know, reverse that on review. But, you know, the referee's got to be more mindful of making that call, you know, when, you know, it's that close. I mean, you got to know, you know, people are going to see it if you're wrong. You know, in today's world, there's so many cameras on the field and so many different angles. They're going to find an angle. You make sure you're right before you blow that whistle. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, well, I couldn't agree with you more. You know, that there wasn't much you could do once the whistle was blown. I mean, you can't go back and change it at that point. You know, Hopkins had continued to run on and ran into the end zone, but you can't go and say, well, okay, we're going to award him the touchdown at that point. I mean, that's impossible. So, to me, I've looked at that one a couple of times, and they have shown enlargements again today of his foot and where his foot was in with regard to the sideline. I could see where a referee on the field may have made a mistake and thought that he touched it. In fact, in one picture, it does appear that, in fact, Hopkins stepped out of bounds. One, it looks like he actually is out of bounds. So it's very difficult, even on still photography, to make the complete determination as to whether, in fact, he did or didn't step out of bounds. I thought the ones that were completely blown were the spots. And
yeah. Well, one I saw was, yes.
And it was two in a row, Brandon. That's what I couldn't get over. I couldn't believe that they blew it twice. Two in a row. That one was, I mean, he clearly had it the first time around, but then he made sure he had it on the second time around, and they spotted him short two times in a row. And that one, to me, those two in a row were unforgivable. And, you know, there were people that were on social media last night following the game. And, you know, here is where it went, Brandon. It went exactly to the same place that I have gone so many times already this season with the referee issue and the referee problems. The cynics were out. I guess maybe people that were supporting the Texans, people that wanted to see the Texans win. I don't know. Maybe it was people that had Texans on their fantasy team or had put money on the Texans. I don't know. But they were coming out and they're going, oh, one more time, we're going to get to hear Dean Blandino say the next day, oh, we missed the call. And see, this is where it's going. Fans are now, I said it a couple of weeks ago with a couple of calls, this is where it's going. fans had gotten to the point of saying, you know what, we're sick of hearing that nonsense. Oh, we missed a call. Like, as if suddenly that's supposed to make everybody feel good. That is nonsense. That's ridiculous. Something's got to be done about the refereeing and the officiating in this game. Honestly, something's got to be done. But Oakland Raiders, man, they're fun to watch. They are fun to watch. It is so much fun. I am enjoying what the Raiders are doing, particularly on the road. I don't think they've lost a game this season so far on the road. They are going to be playing this weekend. They're going to be playing the Panthers at home, and then they're going to be home against the Bills. They go on the road against the Chiefs, on the road against the Chargers. They host the Colts, and then they close out the season against the Broncos in Denver. I'll tell you, they have been fun to watch. I have so enjoyed watching the Oakland Raiders. I think it's a great story. Go ahead, real quick.
I think we started talking about them last year as a team on the rise.
Yep.
You know, that they were getting, a lot of the pieces in place. Derek Carr looked like the real deal. You know, he's one of those that, you know, obviously his brother played, and his brother was just an okay quarterback in the NFL. But, you know, if you were listening to that game last night, you know, he was at the draft when David got drafted. He was 11. David Carr took him to practice, took him to the film room. He was breaking down NFL films when he was like 12 and 13, you know? So it's no wonder he's a good quarterback. You know, his brother clearly, you know, helped him be what he is today as a quarterback. He's leaps and bounds ahead of, you know, others because of some of that, you know, knowledge and, you know, I guess you call it almost training,
yep,
you know, at a young age.
Mentoring.
And, you know,
mentoring
yeah,
mentored by your brother. Isn't that awesome? Yeah.
Yeah. And you know, I wasn't aware of half of that stuff that came out during the game, you know, as far as whether he was at the draft or not. Yeah, I would expect that. But, you know, who'd ever think of taking a 12 or 10-year-old into a film room and, you know, watching, and they made it sound like this was not just a one-off. He was doing this regularly, you know? So, you know, wow. That's why we're looking at Derek Carr today.
Yep, exactly right. All right, good stuff. There you have it. We've broken it down as best we possibly could in these 90 minutes for you for this week. But we're going to be right back with you tomorrow night. Yeah, a rare Wednesday night broadcast. You get to give us a listen at 7 p.m. Eastern time to our flagship program, the program that started it all. The Frat House Sports Show will be coming to you at 7 o'clock tomorrow night, as opposed to our normal Thursday night because of Thanksgiving. And as you heard during the course of this program, we will be making our picks of the week, two of them that will be coming up on Turkey Day. So make sure that you are here with us tomorrow night at 7 p.m. Eastern time for our Frat House Sports Show. I'll be back with you here on Saturday afternoon at 2 p.m. for another relaxed Frat House Saturday. Oh, and we'll continue the holiday festivities going forward on that day as well. All right, there you go. That's our program for this week, but we'll be right back here with you tomorrow night. It won't be that long. So, hey, there's plenty of sports on. I'm going to go catch a hockey game. I know that. There's a hockey game on right now, so I'm going to put that on. Go enjoy your sports. Catch you tomorrow night.